Doug and Sarah have some folks visiting with them here this morning. Doug, give us some names here. All right. Glad to have you with us here this morning. Welcome. And then David Thompson snuck out, but he's got some folks. You folks aren't here for the first time. You've been here before, haven't you? Okay. And give us your names. All right. Glad to have you here this morning also. And then Lori is with us this morning. She's been here this week, but this is the first Sunday, right, that she's been with us. So we're glad to have all you folks visiting with us today. I hope the service will be a blessing. And then those of you that are regularly here, we're glad you got up an extra hour early this morning because of the spring forward thing. I don't like the spring forward. I told everybody in Sunday school, I'm looking to the fall back into bed tonight when this is all done. So, but we will make the best out of what we have to deal with here. John chapter 13. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Read down through verse number 9 as we start this morning. The Gospel of John chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. John chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and lay aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank You this morning for this good group of folks that has gathered. And Father, we pray for Your Spirit to be manifest among us. We pray for Your presence to be here. God, we pray for You to meet the needs that are in our life. Father, not just the physical and material needs, but Father, the spiritual needs. And through the proclamation of Your Word this morning, through the preaching of it, Father, I pray Your Spirit would use this morning for Your honor and for Your glory. Father, take those things that have been thought out and prepared to be delivered to Your folks this morning, and Lord, in Your manner, in Your way, apply them to the heart according to the need. We pray most of all, should there be one today that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God, that today they would be overwhelmed with the great love wherewith You love them by dying on Calvary's cross for their sin debt, and Father, giving them the free gift of eternal life if they would simply ask. Lord, speak to our hearts as believers this morning. Help us to be challenged by the preaching of Your Word, for that we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The story in John chapter 13 is a very familiar story. It's the story of Jesus wiping and washing the disciples' feet. Of course, the reason for this is that back in that day, they traveled barefoot, or they wore sandals, or we might call them flip-flops. But they didn't have Nikes and Converse. They didn't have those all things. So their feet, just by general use and general daily wear, they got dirty. And the Lord gave a great example in humility. And notice that word down in verse number 15 of our text. For I have given you an example. Folks ask me sometimes, why don't we wash one another's feet? And my first reaction is always, yuck. But the reason we don't do it is because the Lord didn't do it and say, now do what I have done. He said this was done as an example. And what the example was is that Lord who was worthy of all praise and glory and adoration. That Lord that His disciples should have been washing His feet was in turn humbling Himself as a servant, bowing down before them, taking off their sandals. You remember, John the Baptist said that Jesus who is coming, John the Baptist, the greatest born among women, the Bible says about him, he said, I'm not worthy to unlatch the latchet of Jesus' sandal. And yet here's that same one unloosing the sandals of his disciples and washing their feet. And Simon Peter says, "Not me, Lord." I love Simon Peter. He said what was on his heart and what was on his mind, even when it was the wrong thing to say. He said, "Not me, Lord." And the Lord said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." And I love Simon's words. "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head." He's given us an example that we need to be clean. I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled, "Living Clean in a Dirty World." Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? This chapter could easily or effortlessly be outlined like this. Jesus washes the disciples' feet, verse 1 to 17. Jesus warns of the disciples' folly in verse 18 to 30. And Jesus witnesses of a disciple's failure in verse 31 to verse 38. It is while the Apostle John, under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, deals with the subject of Jesus under washing the disciples' feet that one finds the words of Simon Peter in verse number 9, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." I couldn't help myself. For those of you that were here all week know exactly what's going on right there, but I had to get that out of my system. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery, they say, and that's what that was all intended as. But here in John chapter 13, we read that Jesus felt that the disciples' feet needed washed, and Peter said, "Lord, if you're going to wash me, it's not just my feet that are dirty. It's my hands, and it's my head." Can I tell you this morning, we live in a dirty world. Now, when I say we live in a dirty world, some of your minds might be running to the environment and saying, "Boy, it sure is filthy. The oceans are polluted and dirty. The streams have all kinds of toxins being poured into them." I know every time I drive home from church and I go up the interstate and I get off the Caddis Road exit and I take a left onto Broome Road, I'm always discouraged when I go down that road, because on both sides of that small road going connecting over to my street, my road, as I go down it, there is trash on both sides of the road. There's pop cans, there's plastic bottles, there is plastic laying around, there is trash of all kind. And if I was younger and I had more time, I would like to be one of those guys, not a prisoner, but I'd like to be one of those guys that went out there and gathered all that stuff and put it in bags, because I don't like dirt, I don't like filth, I don't like those things. But when I say that we're in a dirty world, I'm not talking about environmentally. When I say we're living in a dirty world, I'm not talking about entertainment. And yet, we live in a dirty world. The Bible says, "Let no filthy communication come out of your mouth." And yet, we live in a world where everything's dirty. Everything's twisted. Everything's got innuendos and secondary meanings to it. And if you don't think that way, you're out of place. I know there are times I have said something and I've gotten a chuckle from people around me, unsaved people that are around me, because they twisted and took it as something that it wasn't intended at, and I didn't even realize it could even sound that way. We live in a dirty world. The music and the movies that we are being force-fed with all around us all the time is to defile us and to keep us dirty. We live in a dirty world. But when I say dirty world, I'm not talking about the entertainment. I'm not even talking about politics. If you don't know politics are dirty, you got another thing coming. But when I say we live in a dirty world, I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about a pure, holy God that looks down from a righteous throne in heaven and looks upon this world and sees dirt that you and I don't even recognize. See, you know what the problem is? Dirty people don't see dirt. You have to be clean to recognize dirty. And because the world, to a great extent, is already filthy and dirty, because our entertainment, because our politics, and because our society, and because our environment, everything around us is dirty, we don't spot how filthy it is. And this morning, I would just encourage you, that if you're sitting here, and as at the course of this message, you say, "Preacher, I just don't see it. I don't think the world's that bad." I don't want to be harsh and I don't want to be judgmental, but I want to tell you this. That's your problem. You're not clean enough to recognize how dirty it is. Have you ever, and I'll just use this by way of an example, have you ever, as a non-smoker, gotten into a vehicle that one time a smoker owned, and they have scrubbed it? They have put those little hanging Christmas trees all over the place and tried to cover the odor. But the minute you got inside of that, you knew as soon as you got in, this used to belong to a smoker. Now, another smoker would never understand that. They don't pick up on that. They don't smell it. They're used to it. And I just use this by way of example. But for you and I that are used to clean air and pure oxygen, we pick that up the minute we smell it. The same thing is true of our world today. A righteous, holy God looks upon this society and He smells it the instant He looks down. Look in your Bibles, if you would, over the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, after the Gospel of John, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. The first one after 2nd Corinthians is the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 14. If I can show you God's opinion of this, okay? I'm not really interested in our opinion. I'm not interested in what sociologists say. I'm not worried about the statistics. I'm worried about the voice of God. And when God looks down at this world, what does He say about it? What's His opinion of what He sees down here? Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said this about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from what? This present evil world. Boy, those four words are just packed. This present evil world. Can I tell you this, and this is a introduction to what we're going to look at, because all these things I'm going to say here at the beginning are from the Word of God. This is 2,000 years old. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 was written almost 2,000 years ago. And yet 2,000 years ago, God said when He looked at this world, He had Paul write these words. When He referred to this world, He didn't say, this glorious, beautiful environment we're in. He said, this present evil world. And I'm here to tell you this morning that after 2,000 years, it has not gotten better. We have not improved. We have gotten worse. Man's inventions that can be used for the glory of God are often used to promote this present evil world. Whether it was the radios back in the 40s and 50s, whether it was the television sets in the 50s and 60s, whether it was telephones in the 60s and 70s, whether it was the internet that came along shortly after that, all these things have just furthered the evidence that this is a present evil world. Sure, they can be used for good, and there's some good uses to them, but they've also been used to multiply wickedness and make it available to every person at every touch, and now it seems to every age. This present evil world. Look back, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 1. And I'm not going to make a lot of comment about this. I'm just going to read it. And I want you to understand that the world has not changed in 2,000 years. At least from the aspect of improving and getting better. If by anything, as we've said, it's gotten deteriorated, it's gotten worse. Our society is more wicked today than it was 2,000 years ago. The availability of pornography, the availability of sinful influence is so much greater today than it was 2,000 years ago. In Romans chapter 1, the same Paul that wrote Galatians 1:14, in Romans chapter 1, look all the way down. I know there's a lot more here, but just skip down to verse 29 if you would. And look at this list of things that Paul said was in the world back then. He said in verse 29 of Romans chapter 1, being filled, not just there, but being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full, there's that word again, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. You ever sit and watch the news and say, how in the world did they come up with that? How could someone, I remember years ago when it was reported that a woman had put her children in the back of the car and then pulled the brake and let it ride down into the lake and drowned them because her current boyfriend didn't like her kids. And this is the first thing that came to mind, inventors of evil things. If somebody could even think like that, of putting their own children in a car, pulling the brake and letting it go down into the lake and watch them perish in the cold lake. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. You say, well, preacher, I just don't see the world like that. That's because you and I are part of this world. And we don't see it the way God sees it. And here the Apostle Paul writing as God led him to write these words down. God says, when I look down from heaven, this is what I see. In fact, he comments more. Look over just a couple chapters in chapter 3. And verse number 10, chapter 3 and verse number 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the same writer wrote this as God is leading him. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, if it wasn't God inspiring Paul to those words that he wrote, I'd be offended by that. We'd have to cancel that verse because we don't like it. And that's what we do today. We just cancel anything we don't like. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And you might be sitting here this morning and saying, well, God missed me. He must not have seen me when He said that. No, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Even those things that you think you did good, God knows the motive behind it. God knows the pride that it was done in. And God said, we're all as an unclean thing. Notice he says in verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. That word all, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. He goes on to verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. God says, as I look at your entire being, I see nothing that's pleasing, nothing that's clean, from your head to your feet. Your head, your tongue, your hands, your mouth, everything is unclean. No wonder Peter cried out, Lord, not just my feet, but my head and my hands. Look, if you would, over at 2 Timothy, going back again toward the end of the Bible. 2 Timothy past Galatians, where we were just a few moments ago. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Keep going, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then 1 and 2 Timothy. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. Paul again gives a description. This is a little bit different than the ones given in Romans, but he says in 2 Timothy verse chapter 3, verse 2, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. I think we call that fake news in our day. Incontinent, fierce, despisers, despisers of those that are good. Prophet Jeremiah said they call good evil and evil good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Can you understand that this list, coupled with that which is found in Romans chapter 1 and the description in Romans chapter 3, can I just convince you by the evidence and the proof of the Word of God that we live in a dirty world? And though you and I might say, well, that's overlooking some of this and some of that. No, a righteous God in heaven that is pure and holy beyond any of our comprehension, when He looks down at this world, says that is a present evil world. The songwriter got it. Isaac Watts, who penned these words to our great hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Verse 1, he said, Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Verse 3 is pertinent to what we're talking about this morning. He says, Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Listen, is this vile world a friend to grace to bring us unto God? Is this vile world? Now, I mentioned this present evil world in Galatians chapter 1. That was written 2,000 years ago. And yet it's applicable today. These words, is this vile world a friend of grace, were written by Isaac Watts in 1721. That means that hymn is older than our nation. And in 1721, he said, this vile world. How vile could it have been in 1721? Vile enough that someone walking with God and close to God, when he looked at that world, said, this vile world. This world is dirty. Point number two. We are called to be clean. Number one, this world is dirty. Number two, we, children of God, Christian, we are called to be clean. Look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Back up a little bit from 2 Timothy, if you're there. Right after Galatians was Ephesians and Philippians. But look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. As I spent a few minutes talking about how dirty this world is and giving you the evidence from the Word of God, that might be discouraging. That we live in such a filthy, dirty, vile world. But here's the good news. When you have something that's sparkling clean amidst a bunch of dirt, it sparkles. It shines. It shows forth. And that's what God intends for you and I to be in this vile world. Something clean that sparkles. Something so unlike everything around it that it draws attention. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. Paul says to the church at Philippi, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, notice this, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, the sad mentality of modern day Christianity is to blend in, to be like society, so the society is not offended by your presence. But the truth of the Word of God is we are supposed to be so unlike the world around us that they're uncomfortable. Because they're dirty and we're clean. Listen, Christian, If you're going to try to be like the world, you're not going to please God. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. Now, I'm not telling you to prize being the odd man out and to try to be weird and strange. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, live a godly life. Live a holy life. Live a clean life. Live a pure life. And if you stand out among the dirt as being different, thank God for it. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't worry about it. Live for God. He said that you might shine forth as lights in the world in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Look back, if you would, at the book of James, chapter 4, just a few more pages back. So while we're doing a lot of turning of pages, that's because I want you to understand, this is God's mindset. This is not an individual's opinion. This is not taking verses out of context. This is looking at what God says about it. We are called to be clean. James chapter 4, verse number 8. James chapter 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, the Word of God says, and He will draw nigh to you. Notice this. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know what God's call was right there? To be clean. To cleanse your hands. Oh, Peter said, Lord, not my feet only. Not just the places I go. But cleanse my hands, the things that I do, the things that I touch. And cleanse my head, the words, the conversation from my mouth. The things that my eyes behold, one writer said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. All the things that I hear that affect me so, Lord, cleanse me, my feet, my hands, and my head. Lord, cleanse my heart. Purify your hearts. Cleanse my heart. Mark chapter 7, I'll read it. You need not turn there, but you might want to write the reference down. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus said this, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. That's why James wrote and said, purify your hearts. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries, again, one of these lists in Mark 7:21. Adulteries. Fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. I'm trying my best to taint your view of this world. To understand that everything you get from this world is going to be tainted with filth. Don't be surprised when those Hollywood actors and actresses get up and speak the way they do. Let not marvel you. They're filled with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Don't be surprised when the commercials on television are portraying and showing things that are vile and abominations. That's this present evil world. And all these things are coming from within. Verse 23 in Mark 7 said, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. But James said, cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Get clean. Look at 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, right there in the middle of the New Testament, 1 and 2 Corinthians are easy to find. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Here's the Lord's desire for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. This is in the Word of God. This is a Bible command for you and I as believers. Chapter 6 and verse 17 says this, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." He's writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was being infected with the wickedness of the city of Corinth. Corinth was a very prosperous town. It was a very ungodly place. And the church believers were mingling with them. And again, you can't isolate yourself from the world. And yet we have to recognize we're not part of it. We're just a passing through, as the songwriter said. And so Paul says to the church at Corinth, don't blend in, don't mix in, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know how we've had fellowship with God? By not being dirty. By not mingling with the filth. By staying clean. I worked in construction for quite a while in my early days pastoring the church. And you get pretty dirty doing that. Climbing up on a roof, I was just thinking the other day, one year we were tearing off the shingles on a house up near the hospital, up in that area of Cambridge. We were tearing off the shingles, and it was hitting 90, 95 degrees every day. So we'd start, as soon as the sun came up at 5 o'clock in the morning, we'd get up on that roof, and we'd work as fast and as hard as we could to get it all off of there before noon, 2 o'clock came. And by the time I was done, man, I was a mess. I looked like that little character on Charlie Brown, that one that's got dirt from the top of the head where the dirt cloud just follows them around. That's how I felt. And all when I would get home and get into the shower and let that clean water just wash over my head and my shoulders and use that soap and get clean. Man, what a great feeling that was. You don't appreciate clean until you've experienced dirt. There are times when I go home now, I don't have that kind of a job. I'm not laboring out there in the weather and the sun. But there's times I go home now after walking through this world for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours during the day, mingling with the people that are in the world, going to different places, talking with people, that I can't wait to get home and sit down in my chair and get my bar of soap out and get myself clean. Look at John chapter 15, if you would. The Gospel of John chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Find it easy to find. I'm sorry, John 13. John chapter 13. John 15 is the little puzzle in your bulletin this morning. That's not the verse I wanted. Well, John 13, verse 8, "Peter said unto me, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." I didn't write my reference down, I know. There's a verse in the Bible, and you're going to have to take my word for it. And somebody might find it quickly. I was thinking it's chapter 15. But Jesus said this to His disciples. How embarrassing. Jesus said this to His disciples, "Now are you clean." 15:3, thank you. You knew where I was going. Chapter 15, verse 3. "Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." The Bible says that we are to shine forth in this present wicked generation. How do we shine? By getting clean. How do we get clean? By spending time in the Word of God. And can I tell you this, and I found this by experience, the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more you'll recognize the dirt. I'll tell it to you this way. I read my Bible in the morning and then I get in my car and I'm driving somewhere on a trip somewhere and I turn the radio on. And whether it's a news channel and they're Isn't it? I just find it so disheartening that I turn on the news and it's some about some vile crime that's been created. It's not just somebody robbed a bank. That's what it used to be. Somebody robbed a bank or somebody did. But now it's some vile, perverted, sexual crime that somebody's... And the newspaper's got to put it right on the top fold of the newspaper. The news programs had to lead with that story that comes in. And the minute you hear it, the minute I hear it, after having washed myself with the Word of God, I turn that radio off. Because I realize how filthy that is. And how dirty. And that's what the world wants to talk about. That's what they want to hear about. Or I turn on another station and music comes on and a song comes on and I listen to what they're singing about. Maybe it's a song from back in my day. We always think that those were cleaner than they are now. That was pre-rap music, all right? We listen to something back in our day and we turn it on and all of a sudden after having gotten clean, we start listening to what they're singing about and say, I never realized that song was about that. Now are you clean through the Word? Psalm 119, verse 9, and I do have it written down this time. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119, 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Do you know why a lot of Christians don't read their Bible every day? Because they don't want to be clean, because they don't want to spot the dirt. They want to be part of it. They want to be part of the world that's around them. They want to fit in. And you can't do that and live for God at the same time. God wants us. God has called us to be clean. Thirdly, the first point, this world is dirty. The second, we are called to be clean. Number three, we can. We can be clean. That's the good news. We can be clean. It might be hard to realize when you read that list in Romans 1, that list in Romans 3, that list of Mark chapter 7, that list in 2 Timothy chapter 3. When you read of how God sees our world and we're here in it, you might think, well, it's impossible for me to be clean. No, it's not. We can be clean. Look, if you would, at Psalm 51. We'll be finished in just a minute. Psalm 51. Psalm's right in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 51 is the penitent prayer of David. A man with a broken heart because of his sin. And in Psalm 51 and verse 10, he prays this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Would that be your prayer today? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Recognize that when you pray that prayer, you're asking God to make you different from those at work, from those at school, from those at Walmart, from those you come in contact with every day that are of this world. You're asking God to make you different. Create in me a clean heart. And when you are clean, you're going to stand out as a shining light in the darkness. But we can be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just a couple more verses, we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All the way back again to the New Testament. This morning, if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, I say this with compassion, tenderness, but with accuracy, you're dirty. I don't say that to be harsh or to be mean, but without Jesus Christ, listen, without Jesus Christ, a person is dirty. Doesn't matter how good they try to be. Doesn't matter how favored they are by others around them. In the sight of God, without Jesus Christ, we're dirty. The heart is deceitful, Jeremiah wrote, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know the verse, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, glory to God. He is a new creature. You know how you become clean? By trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. By having your sins forgiven. There's only one way that's done. Only one way according to the Word of God. That's by coming to the realization that you're a sinner and you're filthy and you're dirty and you need God to cleanse you. That your sins are going to take you to hell and you need them washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Lord, here I am. I acknowledge I'm dirty, I'm filthy, I'm unclean. And today I ask you to come in and wash me whiter than snow. Oh, I told you there's only a couple verses and now all these verses are flooding to my mind. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson. I think I got the snow and the wool backward. But though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. They shall be as wool. He's the only one that's able to clean that filthiness. People try religiously to scrub themselves by rituals and good behavior and good deeds. The only one that can cleanse you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is cleaning the outside of the pot and the kettle. He's the only one that can clean it from the inside. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and we can never separate verse 18 from verse 17, and all things are of God. You can be clean. God will create in you a clean heart. Then He'll help you to have clean hands, and a clean head, and clean habits. You can be clean. One last verse, 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John, all the way at the end of the New Testament, just before the book of Revelation. You can be clean, Christian. Maybe this morning, as you consider this, and the Lord impresses upon you, your heart, the fact that you're not clean. You're to be in this world, but not of this world. But the fact of the matter is, even as a believer, you're of this world. You're not a light that's shining in darkness. You're part of the darkness. It's disappointing, and I'm sad to say this, but I found out after I became a Christian. That didn't happen until after I graduated from high school and moved on in life. I got saved. I found out that many of my friends from high school were Christians and went to church every Sunday. And I had no idea. I don't want to be harsh or judgmental of them, but I'll simply say this. There was a light that wasn't shining. We need to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And the only way for that light to shine is for us to be clean. And the only way for us to be clean is, number one, to be saved. And number two, to be like Peter and cry out, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if you would. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. John says, if we confess our sins... And that's not talking about one to another, but to God. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you think those sins are murder and adultery, cussing and swearing, drinking. Well, that's not what those sins are. I mean, that's part of the list. You know what they are? Not turning the radio off soon enough when you know what you're listening to isn't clean. Not turning the television off quick enough when you know what you're seeing with your eyes is not clean. Not turning and walking away from that conversation when you realize what's going on around you is not clean. See, these situations happen all day long. And we need to get to the point where we recognize it so instantly and so quickly that not only do we turn away from it or turn it off or whatever it is, but we automatically say also to God, God, I am sorry that I overheard that conversation. Lord, I feel a little bit dirty because the world just got into me a little bit. And God, I want to be clean. I want my light to shine in this present evil world. This world is dirty. We are called to be clean. And we can be clean. This morning, if you're not saved, you can be clean. You can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ by faith in Him. Putting your faith and trust in Him who loved you enough that He went to Calvary's cross and bled and died for your sins. Christian, you can be clean. And so, oh, preacher, I've been saved for a while and I've gotten this and that and influenced by this and that. Can I tell you this morning, you can say, God created me a clean heart. You can cleanse your hearts, your hands, O sinners, purify your hearts. You can confess your sins and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can recognize the filth that's around you and tell God, God, I want, above all things, I want and desire to be clean. I'm not worried about pleasing the world. Not worried about pleasing society. God, I'm worried about pleasing You. You can be clean. Living clean in a dirty world. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.